Welcome to the 53rd episode of Reliving the War, and welcome to the 14th of October 1996. The WWF are presenting a taped show tonight from Hershey, Pennsylvania, while WCW Nitro is live from the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis, Tennessee. We'll take a quick look at the first 60 minutes of Nitro first, but just before we do that, please remember to subscribe to the channel and hit the notification bell. It helps the channel a lot, and honestly, it helps to keep me motivated to keep making these videos. Right then, let's do it. The first 60 minutes of Monday Nitro. Tony and Larry recap last week's show as usual. The big story here centers around Randy Savage taking a beating and Miss Elizabeth being controlled by the New World Order. The NWO Sign Boys are in the audience tonight as our first match gets underway. It's Dean Malenko versus Brad Armstrong. Malenko is still holding Rey Mysterio's mask that was stolen on WCW Saturday night. It's another solid bout here. Nick Patrick officiated the match and the crooked ref still had on his little neck brace. The commentators used this match to update fans on what's been going on in WCW, from the NWO becoming a real force on Monday nights to the unknown whereabouts of the Stinger. The crowd also seemed very pumped up for this episode of Monday Nitro. They were randomly jumping off their seats and holding up NWO signs throughout the match, a match that ended with Dean Malenko scoring a pinfall win. Dean sent a message to Rey Mysterio after the match. Malenko looks forward to seeing Rey at Halloween Havoc in 2 weeks' time. The NWO then show up in two stretch limousines. The whole squad is here tonight on Nitro, and back inside the arena, a loud Hogan chant breaks out. On WCW Saturday night, Jim Duggan defeated Michael Wall Street, but Nick Patrick reversed the decision when he noticed Hacksaw taped his fist. I know. So a rematch took place on Nitro without Nick Patrick, and it was nothing special. Hacksaw got the win. Nick Patrick was back for the Jim Powers vs. Hugh Morris match, so you know what's happening here. If Teddy Long represents a wrestler during a Nick Patrick officiated matchup, then that wrestler is going to get screwed over. Powers should have won the match on two separate occasions, but Patrick was selling his neck injury and not counting quick enough. When Hugh Morris hit the no laughing matter moonsault, Patrick counted to three with no issues at all. The segment ended with Teddy Long arguing with the injured referee. Greg Valentine vs. Lex Luger was up next. Luger was taped up after last week's attack by Arn Anderson. And not gonna lie folks, this one was pretty dire. Luger got the predictable win by applying the torture rack. The enforcer watched the match backstage while Vincent and Ted DiBiase were seen in the audience. Nick Patrick then gets some news from Tony Schiavone. Nick wanted Randy Savage to receive a $1 million fine for hurting his neck, but Schiavone says the WCW board of directors decided to issue a $500 fine and a 5-match suspension on Savage. The match suspensions would begin in 1997. Patrick is livid, and the referee says WCW will not get away with this. Tony then takes us back to WCW Saturday night, where the Outsiders had an empty arena match against the Starbuck Twins. The referee for this empty arena match was wearing a ski mask, and Tony Schiavone implies that this was Nick Patrick. Patrick denies it, of course. He isn't part of the NWO, and he doesn't like accusations getting thrown at him. This whole episode of Saturday Night, including this unique Outsiders match, was covered in the latest watch-along on my Patreon page, by the way, if you want to have a look. And that's it, that's the first 60 minutes of Nitro, and really, the Malenko match was the only real standout. So Raw gets the unopposed point this week, nothing special at all happening on WCW Nitro. A hype video opens up Raw. We're going to see Steve Austin vs. Shawn Michaels in our main event tonight, a match that would headline WrestleMania in 1998. Vader vs. Phineas Godwin is our opening Raw match, while over on Nitro, Miss Elizabeth sends a video message to Randy Savage. Kevin Kelly announces that Vince McMahon will be back on the commentary desk next week. Jim Ross doesn't seem too happy about that as Vader begins working over Phineas. And my, empty seats everywhere at Monday Night Raw. The hard camera stays zoomed in throughout this entire bout so we don't get a wide shot of the empty seats right in front of the ring, but you can see there's big patches of red chairs in the arena. Maybe this match was recorded at the start of the tapings, maybe it was after intermission, but the production team done everything they could to hide away the empty seats inside the Hershey Park Arena. Vader is totally destroying Phineas. The fight spills to the outside briefly while Jim Ross says he doesn't care what Kevin Dunn or Vince McMahon says. He's still going to show up next week for commentary duties whether Vince McMahon likes it or not. Kevin Kelly is being a little more compliant. Vader gets in more of those trademark punches in the corner, and Phineas has done absolutely nothing throughout this entire opening matchup. Psycho Sid then makes an appearance and he shouts that he too is from Arkansas just like the Godwins. Okay then. And this distraction allows the Hog Farmer to finally get in some offense. Phineas nails a clothesline followed by a side suplex and Sid disappears. His job is seemingly done. Phineas clotheslines Vader over the top rope, the Hog Farmer smashes Vader's face on the Spanish announce table, and Phineas bites his opponent's forehead. Back inside the ropes, Phineas hits a power slam and he goes for the slop drop. Vader hangs onto the top rope. Phineas then tries running in at Vader, but the Hog Farmer gets knocked down, and that's it all over. Vader hits a Vader bomb to score a pinfall win on Monday Night Raw. Extremely difficult to care about this bout. It's great to see Vader win and all that, but it just wasn't a good match to open up the show with. Mike Enos was scheduled to have a match with Randy Savage, but Eric Bischoff intercepts the Macho Man during the entrances. Savage is pumped up for his match. He's also heard that the NWO just arrived, so maybe the Macho Man can start Halloween Havoc a little early and get his hands on Hollywood Hogan. The mood changes when Bischoff brings up Elizabeth. Randy tells Eric not to go there, but Bischoff tells Savage that Liz has been trying to reach out to the Macho Man, but he keeps avoiding her. Elizabeth is sent in a videotape with a message to the Macho Man, and look, there's a conveniently placed TV for Randy to see this message. It's like someone bought Randy a cameo from his ex-wife. The video plays, Liz is sitting on a tree swing and she says this is awkward for both of them, no shit, and this was the only way she could talk directly to the Macho Man. Elizabeth says that saying sorry to Randy will never be enough. She isn't sure if the thing she'd done to Savage in the past was to hurt him or to try to get his attention, but she does know that she's all alone again and she's sitting on the swing that Savage made for her. It's actually made out of Slim Jims. Elizabeth apologizes for everything she's done and she hopes Randy can forgive her. Liz says she's lost, she made a bad choice by joining the NWO and joining Hulk Hogan because he's using her to get to Randy. And the video ends with Liz confessing that she feels the same way about Savage now as what she did when she said the words, I do. This is fucking sad, isn't it? It's breaking my heart. We go back to Randy and Bischoff and the Macho Man is lost for words. He gets teary-eyed and Eric tries to get Savage to speak, but he can't. Randy walks away from his scheduled matchup. He walks out of the arena and he gets into his limo to leave WCW Nitro. The show then moves on to its next segment. Monday Nitro gets the point. The tree swing and all that stuff was a little cheesy and this isn't a promo you show your friends who already call you a moron for watching wrestling. But in terms of creating an effective segment to further a storyline, this was right on the money. Eddie Guerrero vs. the Cheetah Kid is next on Nitro while the WWF presents Jerry Lawler vs. Jake Roberts. Mr. Perfect had a short interview on Raw before the Lawler match. Hennig says he's in perfect condition. He's going to be live on Raw next week to do what he does best in his match with Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Perfect called out the new generation and their stupid haircuts, going on to say that Mr. Perfect is the greatest intercontinental champion in WWF history, he's the greatest athlete to ever grace a WWF ring, and next week he's gonna prove it. Jerry Lawler then comes out for his match with Jake Roberts and Jim Ross completely destroys the King on commentary. Ross says he's going to have to carry the Buried Alive broadcast this Sunday because Jerry Lawler hasn't analysed a wrestling hold in over 20 years while Vince McMahon doesn't even know the names of the holds. Lawler is ripping into Jake as usual. These ladies find it really funny in the audience, but then... time-travelling Hulk Hogan in the building. This is how Eric gets the Raw results early, sneaky bastard. Lawler says that Jake is wasted backstage, and right enough, when Jake makes his entrance, he staggers out while holding a bottle behind his back. Gorilla Monsoon nearly stops the match from happening, but Jake says he's okay, he hasn't been drinking at all, this is all a plan to trick Jerry Lawler. The match goes ahead, and have a look at those empty seats now. As mentioned, it's hard to know when these matches took place on the taping schedule, so it could have been early, it could have been late, but that's a lot of empty seats right there for a WWF show. The bell rings, Jake hits a DDT right away, and the match is over. Jake wins via pinfall. Jake then pours a drink on Jerry Lawler before wrapping revelations around the king. Lawler starts gagging on the outside as Jake celebrates in the ring. Yeah. So, who is the Cheetah Kid? Most people think it's Prince Iaukea, but it isn't. It's Rocky Iaukea, the real son of Curtis Iaukea, who at one point also used the Prince Iaukea name in the late 80s. Adding to the confusion is the fact that Rocco Rock of the Public Enemy once worked as the Cheetah Kid in the WWF also, so you've got one of these wrestlers whose true identity gets a little confusing, but it's definitely not the Prince Iaukea we know of WCW. Cheetah Kid actually wrestled Prince Iaukea in mid-1997. Eddie cuts a split-screen promo after the entrances where he says Diamond Dallas Page is a one-move wrestler. Guerrero already defeated Page at Clash of the Champions, and he's going to do the same at Halloween Havoc. The two competitors go through a quick wristlock and hammerlock sequence before Guerrero gets launched into the ropes. Eddie rolls over his opponent's back and he hits a perfect head scissors, followed by a dropkick. Dropkick number 2 misses, and the Cheetah Kid rubs his elbow into Eddie's face. A Samoan drop only gets the Cheetah Kid a 2 count, and then Eddie takes an elbow to the face, and I think this must have connected. Guerrero stays on the mat for a little longer than usual, and when Cheetah Kid tries to pick him up, you can see Nick Patrick talking to Eddie to make sure he's okay to continue. Cheetah Kid doesn't hold back though with this powerbomb, but Eddie manages to reverse the second powerbomb attempt with an arm drag. Eddie then finds himself on the outside. He climbs back on the apron, but a dropkick sends Guerrero right back down. The Cheetah Kid then throws Eddie into the ring before going to the top rope. Kid takes way too long here, and Eddie wakes up, going on to hit a top rope Frankensteiner. Eddie then goes back upstairs, we see the frog splash, and Eddie wins via pinfall. Not the best Guerrero match we've seen, he played defense for most of this matchup, but still, compare this to Jake Roberts versus Jerry Lawler, and, well, you know who gets the point. Up next on Nitro, we have Big Bubba versus the fake Double J, Jeff Jarrett. His name should be Double F, fucking fraud. And over on the WWF channel, we have Freddie Joe Floyd versus Hunter Hearst Helmsley. That's a lot of names for a one-on-one match, isn't it? Another Jesse James promo aired before the Triple H match, and it was more of the same, really. Jesse James says Double F asked him to join him in leaving the World Wrestling Federation, but James felt so burnt by all these things that Jarrett promised him in the past, and so he decided to stay. With My Baby Tonight is going to get re-recorded for a new album, and there's talk of a big country singer performing a duet with James in the future. Next week we're going to learn about the real Double J's escapades during Operation Desert Storm, so yeah. The WWF were trying everything to push Jesse James around this time period, or were they more focused on burying Jeff Jarrett? Floyd versus Helmsley then, to make sure Mr. Perfect can't steal Hunter's valet, the King of Kings has a cunning plan. He's going to handcuff his lady to the bottom turnbuckle. Nothing wrong with that, is there? That's completely normal, isn't it? Moving on, Hunter brings Smothers to the corner and a hip toss gets delivered. Helmsley does his little pose as Jim Ross complains about Kevin Dunn trying to tell him what to do. Ross says Kevin Dunn isn't his boss, and it's really odd that Dunn is getting mentioned so much in this broadcast. Casual fans wouldn't have a clue who Jim was talking about. Floyd fires back with a hip toss of his own, followed by a fireman's carry and a drop toe hold. Hunter finds himself in a side headlock. When both men get back to their feet, Triple H hits a jumping knee that floors his opponent. Hunter then takes Floyd from corner to corner, laying in a ton of strikes in the process, and Floyd then takes a boot to the stomach, followed by a swinging neckbreaker. Helmsley is firmly in control here. After Hunter nails a vertical suplex, Mr. Perfect makes his way down to the ring. Floyd begins mounting a comeback as Hennig takes a look at Hunter's valet and the predicament she's found herself in. Perfect then produces a key, he takes the handcuffs off, and he gives the key back to a security guard who was sitting at ringside. Nothing really clever nor witty here in regards to how Perfect has once again stolen one of Hunter's valets. Triple H hits the pedigree inside the ring, and look at this. The plan was to have Helmsley break the pin before 3 and chase Perfect, but Floyd still kicks out. So Freddie Joe Floyd technically kicked out of a pedigree during his WWF run. Not only that, but Mr. Perfect punches Hunter on the entranceway and Hunter gets counted out. Freddie Joe Floyd, or Tracy Smothers, could say he had a TV victory over Triple H. All in all, a very average match and a very typical WWF Raw match. It wasn't good. During Double F's entrance on Nitro, Bischoff acknowledges the real Double J storyline over on WWF Raw by saying this.
I understand though, he can't sing a lick. But who cares? WCW, it's not about singing, gentlemen, it's about wrestling.
This crowd is totally behind Jeff Jarrett, which is the complete opposite of last week. But remember, we're in the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis tonight for Nitro. The fans love Jarrett here, but it'll be fun to see the reaction he gets next week. Big Bubba knows Jeff likes to strut, so he decides to hit the ropes a few times. I know, it doesn't make sense. Once he stops, Jeff does the strut and he gets a great ovation. A side headlock from Big Bubba results in a leapfrog sequence where Bubba hits Jarrett with a shoulder block. A simple enough move, but these two made it look very smooth. Big Bubba comes back with a body slam, but he fails to connect with 2 clothesline attempts, resulting in Jarrett pulling off strut number 2. Bubba takes 2 uppercuts before Jimmy Hart distracts Jarrett. Jeff chases Jimmy around the outside of the ring, but Bubba was waiting for him. The spot is kinda ruined by the bad camera work. Bubba goes to drop Jarrett on the steel steps, but the referee stops him. This allows Jimmy Hart to get in a few kicks, and when Jarrett tries to get back inside the ring, Bubba knocks him down and Jimmy again gets in a few sneaky shots. Jeff manages to hit a flying crossbody off the top rope, but it only gets him a 2 count. The kicking he took from Jimmy is seemingly having no effect at all. And Big Bubba comes back with a big forearm that has a lot of impact. Bubba then applies a chin lock, and when Jeff fights out, he ends up taking a big boot for his troubles. Bubba then brings Jarrett to the middle rope and Bubba jumps on Jeff's back. Double J tries to mount a comeback, but he misses a dropkick, leading to Bubba punching Jeff in the mouth, and this looked pretty good too for such a simple move. Jeff kicks out of a pin attempt, Bubba launches Jarrett into the corner, but he misses his follow-up splash. Jarrett lays in a few kicks, Bubba then takes an atomic drop, and the crowd begin rallying behind Jarrett. It's time for the figure 4. Jimmy Hart jumps on the apron, but Jarrett punches him out. The bump that Jimmy takes is absolutely fantastic. Jarrett then refocuses on Bubba, but a spinebuster puts Jeff down and the crowd are now on their feet. Bubba swats the referee away so Jimmy can pass him his megaphone, but Jarrett wakes up and the megaphone gets dropkicked into Bubba's face. 1, 2, 3, Jarrett wins and the crowd is absolutely delighted. The automatic assumption is to completely shit all over Jeff Jarrett for a lot of wrestling fans, and he's by no means my favourite wrestler, but credit where it's due. The fans were still behind Jarrett in the Mid-South Coliseum in 1996, and the bout he and Bubba put on here was a pretty good TV match, even if the overall flow of the contest was a little shaky. Another point for WCW Nitro. During a post-match interview, it's announced that Jarrett will face the Giant at Halloween Havoc, and Jarrett says something that actually gets a chorus of boos, although they weren't necessarily booing Jeff, they were booing Ric Flair. Jarrett says when he beats the Giant at Halloween Havoc, the NWO will have no choice but to respect guys like Ric Flair and the rest of the WCW locker room, and when Jarrett said Ric Flair's name, that's when the audience gave a negative response. Jarrett would soon get tangled up in a storyline featuring Flair and the Horseman, but more on that as the weeks go on. By the way, Eric called Double J, "Jeff, I never claimed I could sing Jarrett" at the end of the match. Holy fuck, the Faces of Fear versus Harlem Heat is next on Nitro, while the WWF puts on Farouk versus Alex Porto. Before the Raw match, we get another pre-taped promo with Mankind at the gravesite. He says he had a vision of The Undertaker getting buried alive, and this has given him some confidence. Undertaker is going to breathe his last breath this week at In Your House. Isn't it strange how this whole match was built up with only pre-recorded promos for the past month? An Undertaker promo also aired before the main event. I might as well just cover it now because it's just more of the same. The Undertaker says he'll be Mankind's judge, jury, and executioner, and if it means destroying The Undertaker to destroy Mankind, then that's what the Phenom will do. The Undertaker wants Mankind to imagine what his last few breaths of air will taste like, and imagine what it's going to be like to never rest in peace. Back to the match then, Sunny comes out first and she shows the fans her massive poster. Jim Ross calls this a waste of time, by the way, and yeah, maybe it is. Sunny joins the commentary table and she announces that she and Farouk have parted ways on good terms. I wonder if Farouk legit requested Sunny to get the fuck away from him because she's cramping his style. This one feels even more predictable than the previous two Raw matches as Farouk begins taking care of the pug. Porto hits a dropkick that only serves to piss Farouk off. Big Ron Simmons says fuck that, and he gives Alex a boot to the midsection followed by a quick clothesline. Jim Ross then says that Farouk's headgear is embarrassing. Vince McMahon is supposed to be a creative genius, yet he's put silly headwear on a three-time All-American from Florida State University. JR just saying what we're all thinking here, good stuff. Porto tries to go toe-to-toe with Farouk, but that's a mistake. Farouk grabs Porto out of a leapfrog and a big spinebuster gets delivered. Farouk then nails his opponent with a headbutt and then we see the Dominator. That's it over. Good seeing Farouk doing what he does best, but as a competitive wrestling match, it's another dud from the World Wrestling Federation. Let's just pull out the Ming Manly meter for this one and yeah, Harlem Heat right up there is two manly dudes, so we're hoping for a complete war here. Booker T and Ming start things off and Ming has no time for locking up and all that wrestling nonsense. A knee to the midsection and a club to the neck starts us off and Ming unleashes his ultra combo in the corner. Booker T is now reconsidering his life choices. The crowd stands up as Chris Benoit and Steve McMichael come out to the entranceway and Mongo says this. Did he just fucking say, knock the lava lavas out of you? The action stops in the ring momentarily, but Ming remembers he has a job to do and Booker continues to take punishment. Booker manages to come back with a sidekick, but it doesn't affect Ming. A follow-up jump kick does the job though and Stevie Ray gets tagged in. Ming takes a few shots before the Barbarian comes into the match, and Stevie takes a hard knife-edge chop before getting drilled in the corner. The Barbarian hits a few back elbows, but Stevie fires back with a kick to the face. This one has been extremely hard-hitting so far, as expected. The Faces of Fear take a timeout on the outside, but Stevie stays on the Barbarian when the match resumes. Booker comes back in, and we see a nice jumping forearm followed by a hook kick. Harlem Heat then begin incorporating quick tags to keep the Barbarian away from his corner, and it does work well. That is, until Booker T goes up for a Harlem Hangover and Ming stops Booker in his tracks. This allows the Barbarian to hit an insane top rope belly to belly suplex that makes the crowd and the commentators pop. Ming comes back into the match. Sherry screams at Ming to leave Booker alone, but Ming shakes his hips at Harlem Heat's manager and again the crowd pops. There's no joking around with this powerbomb though, and Stevie Ray is forced to break up the follow-up pin attempt. Booker T took a ton of impact here. An illegal tag brings Barbarian back into the match and Booker takes a backbreaker. The Faces of Fear then double team Booker and Stevie Ray desperately needs to make a tag. But it doesn't happen. Actually, the match doesn't properly finish because the crowd stands up in unison and they begin cheering. Scott Hall and Kevin Nash have just shown up and they're here to cause trouble. Remember, it's the Outsiders versus Harlem Heat at Halloween Havoc. The match gets thrown out as Harlem Heat and the Faces of Fear square up to Hall and Nash. WCW are united here against the New World Order, and the segment ends with the Outsiders backing off while Eric Bischoff pleads for Sting to come back and lead WCW against the NWO. a poor finish from Monday Nitro, but the action inside the ring was way better than Raw's offering. Before Nitro's final segment, Eric Bischoff says that Randy Savage could be done with wrestling after what happened earlier in the show. It's now a guessing game if the Macho Man vs. Hulk Hogan match is going to take place at Halloween Havoc. The NWO then come out to cut a promo to end this episode of Nitro while the WWF presents a blockbuster main event, Shawn Michaels vs. Steve Austin. Stone Cold doesn't care much for Shawn's flamboyant entrance, but just like his main event match with The Undertaker not too long ago on Raw, this was another step in the right direction for Stone Cold Steve Austin. Kevin Kelly is billing this one as the biggest match in Raw history. It's interesting that the WWF were giving this match such a big push. They wanted Austin to be a star, and well, over the next few weeks, Austin's rise in the World Wrestling Federation would truly begin. HBK looks confident tonight, but behind the scenes he was starting to feel a ton of pressure. The WWF were getting destroyed in the Monday Night War ratings, and Shawn blamed himself. Like him or not, you guys have been watching Raw and Nitro with me this past year or so, and you'd be mad to think the problem with WWF Raw was Shawn Michaels. The two men lock up and Steve brings Shawn to the corner. Shawn ducks out of the way and Austin is left wondering what happened. Stone Cold then grabs a headlock as Vader and Jim Cornette cut a promo backstage while watching the match. Cornette is confident that Vader will face Michaels at Survivor Series after the big man takes care of Psycho Sid at In Your House. Shawn brings Stone Cold down with a hammerlock. Austin then gets to his feet and HBK takes a punch to the mouth, but Shawn fires back with a punch of his own. The two men stare at each other as the match resets. The Rattlesnake walks into a headlock takedown and Shawn delivers one more using the turnbuckles for extra leverage. The two men get back to their feet as Psycho Sid is seen backstage laughing his ass off. Shawn must have left his fanny pack backstage again. Sid is going to defeat Vader at In Your House. He'll then face Shawn Michaels at Survivor Series, and Sid apologizes to Shawn in advance for what's going to happen in November. Shawn gets out of a pinning predicament with a bridge. The two men go into a backslide position, but again, HBK uses the ropes for leverage and he gets out of the hold. Shawn then goes for Sweet Chin Music. Austin is smart enough to dodge the attack, and Austin rolls out of the ring. Stone Cold manages to pull Shawn underneath the ropes, and when Shawn gives chase, Stone Cold jumps back inside the ring and he hits a stun gun on the WWF champion. Austin then tries to end it with a Stone Cold stunner, but Michaels pushes out. We come back from a commercial break and consider the match over. Vader hits the ring as Michaels attacks Austin in the corner. Shawn hits a diving clothesline that he very nearly missed. But yeah, the ref calls for the bell and it's a DQ finish. Best match in Raw history, my balls. What we got was good, but we didn't get enough of it. Savio Vega comes in to try and help Shawn, but he takes a stunner right away. Thanks for coming, Savio. And as expected, it takes Psycho Sid coming to the ring to make Vader back off. Sid got inside the ropes and he booted Vader in the hole, and this was enough to make Vader back off. The fake Razor and Diesel came out to watch the action for some reason as Austin whips Shawn into Sid. HBK and Sid then begin arguing, but it's broken up by Austin and Vader returning to the ring. And when the heels get thrown back out, Shawn and Sid celebrate together, ending another extremely rough episode of Monday Night Raw with a half-decent main event. The NWO come down to the ring on Nitro and Miss Elizabeth is there looking scared and worried. Hogan says it's NWO time, brothers, and the crowd loves it. Hogan starts ripping into Randy Savage as the Giant shows off his sick new tattoo, NWO for life, brother. Hollywood says he's been out filming his new Three Ninjas movie, and that explains why he's clean shaven. Thanks for the update, Hulkster. And Hogan goes on to say that he can push all of Randy's buttons very easily. He can push a button to make Savage run, he can push a button to make Savage hide, and when Hogan turns his attention to the acting skills of Miss Elizabeth, Liz tries to slap the Hulkster. Hogan continues on, saying that thanks to Elizabeth, Hulk Hogan can make the Macho Man cry. The Nasty Boys then come down to the ring wearing NWO shirts, and it appears that Knobs and Sags aren't too happy with the New World Order contracts that they have been given. Knobs says there's no mentions of limousines and jets in the contract, something that was promised, and the money is too low also. Hogan wants to see his signature on the contract, but it isn't there. Hulk says because he didn't sign the contract, the Nasty Boys shouldn't be wearing NWO shirts. The rest of the New World Order then attack the Nasty Boys, officially ending Nobbs and Sag's association with the faction. Thank you, sweet Jesus. As the Nasty Boys get a spray paint job, Hogan goes back to Savage, saying that the reason the Macho Man's life fell apart was because of Hollywood Hogan. Miss Elizabeth used to dream about Hulk Hogan even before her marriage with Randy broke down, and the Hulkster is going to take Elizabeth with him to film his Three Ninjas movie. That sounds like an incredible date, doesn't it? Hulk taunts Savage by saying Elizabeth is going to be with him night and day, and the show ends with the NWO taking over the commentary desk once again. Their microphones get cut off as Nitro fades to black. I'm giving the final point to Raw this time. HBK vs. Austin was a little more interesting to watch. Nitro wins another episode of Reliving the War. Even without breaking the segments down and comparing both shows as a whole, Nitro was simply better. This was a rough week for WWF Raw, though it could have been way worse without that Austin vs. Michaels match. Our scores are now 18 points to Raw, 29 points to Nitro, and we've had 6 ties. In the TV ratings, Nitro scored a 3.3, and Raw scored a 1.8, their worst rating since the beginning of the Monday Night Wars. Next week we'll have the Buried Alive results, the return of Bret Hart, and the return of Sting. That's all you need to know. Remember to please subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so already, it would help me out a lot, and I hope to see you all next week. Thank you very much for watching.